The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
And welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Can you feel that, folks? It's in the air. The temperatures are rising and the sun is setting later. Everyone's out and about. Lake monsters chomping at water skiers. Mothman dodging firecrackers. And Bigfoot is stealing hot dogs off the grill. And you know what all of that means. It means that summer is nearly here. So chances are I'm catching you as you're out for a ride on a starry evening. Or maybe you're lakeside with some bait, brews, and a catfish or two. Or perhaps you're camping somewhere, out in the wilderness. Far from the nearest road. Far from anyone. I can hear you scream. So no matter where you are tonight, I have some stories that'll send shivers up your spine. So what do you say we get started? From North Texas, please welcome Jasper to the program.
Hey, Derek. This is Jasper from North Texas calling. I have a story for you today about the house that I grew up in as a child. It's not my story, though. It's my mom's story. I've got a lot of crazy stories from that house myself, but I thought this one was particularly interesting because most of the stuff that happened in that house was typical, like, haunting things, whereas this one's just a little bit different. It's more like a time slip. The house was in a tiny rural town in Missouri. I won't say the name of the town. It's, like, less than 8,000 people, real close to Kansas City, actually. And it was a really old house, really weird place. My dad had built onto it a lot. And my brother and I always said when we were growing up that the newer additions to the house felt different. We always wanted to be in the places that were built on. All the older places in the house just felt weird and had weird stuff happen in them. But I digress. This story happened before I was even probably like two. I was really young. And my mom, in the middle of the night, around like 2 a.m. or so, really late in the night, heard this massive crash. She was in her bedroom and she heard this massive crash in the kitchen downstairs. And so, you know, it's just me and her and my brother in the house at the time. My dad was gone. And so she goes to check it out. You know, she leaves. She doesn't wake us up or anything, but she goes down to make sure. She thinks we're being burgled or something. She'd had weird stuff happen in that house before. but her immediate thought was like burglar. So she, you know, grabs her gun and goes down and checks out the kitchen, and nothing is wrong. And it was a huge crash. She looks around for a long time and nothing, just there's nothing amiss. And so eventually, you know, she checks out the house. She checks on me and my brother. You know, she's a little skittish, but she assumes maybe she dreamt it or something because it woke her up out of sleep, and goes back to bed. Well, in the morning, she wakes up real early in the morning. She always has. She gets up in the morning, goes downstairs to, you know, get her coffee or whatever ready. And there at the kitchen counter, she had this huge, gorgeous glass vase that had been sitting there. And it is just shattered all over the floor. It is just completely, like someone threw it down hard or something. Like it is just completely everywhere, like glass shards everywhere. And it had not been like that the night before, moments after she heard it break. She just always thought that was the weirdest thing. You know, she cleaned it up. She just dealt with it and said, okay, like I said, weird stuff happened in that house all the time. She's got a ton of other stories. She had a diamond ring thrown at her from a mirror once. But I just thought that one was particularly interesting because it wasn't, you know, like an apparition or anything. It was literally like time skipped around on her. Huge fan of the show. Keep doing what you're doing. We all really appreciate the work you put in, man. Take care.
Oh, it's just more than the work that I put in, Jasper. I have an extremely hardworking crew helping me out. Sarah on social media, advertising and marketing. Delaney processes calls and does research for nearly every call you hear throughout the week. And as of a month or two ago, Connor edits every single call you hear on the program. And if my calculations are correct, it takes about 35 to 40 combined hours to produce one single episode. And at 2 episodes a week, you can imagine we're pretty busy. So we appreciate the kind words, Jasper, and I appreciate the opportunity to show my appreciation to my team. Now, as for your story, an exploding vase, diamond rings being tossed about the room. I don't care for it much when a spirit, or whatever this thing is, has the ability to manipulate objects. Or in this case, throw them. That's just too much power for something that we can't even see. But Jasper, stuff like this makes for an amazing story and the perfect way to kick off tonight's episode. So thank you again for making the call. Now folks, I have a whole slew of stories to share with you here this evening. But first, a quick word from tonight's sponsors. Now I know many of you are always looking for podcast recommendations. Well, the Let's Read podcast features a wide array of horror stories, ranging from true crime and paranormal encounters to creepy personal experiences, making it a must-listen for fans of the genre. Many of the stories are submitted by listeners, providing a diverse and authentic range of terrifying tales that resonate with a broad audience. Let's Read is hosted by Joel, whose storytelling prowess creates an immersive and chilling listening experience, perfect for fans who love to be on the edge of their seats. Dive into a rich archive of episodes with spine-tingling stories that include everything from haunted houses to ghost sightings to unsettling true crime cases and creepy encounters. Join a vibrant community of horror enthusiasts who engage with the podcast, sharing their own stories and experiences, making it an interactive and dynamic show. Stay tuned for special episodes and themed story collections that explore new and exciting facets of horror storytelling. Search for Let's Read on your favorite podcast platform and remember to hit follow so you never miss an episode. There's also a link in tonight's show notes.
For exclusive coverage of...
And then after 4 o'clock...
And we're back. And up next is a real interesting call. Please welcome Montana from California.
Hi, Derek. My name is Montana. I've been listening to the show since the very beginning, but I've never called in. But I have a lot of stories. So the first one I wanted to share was, I was in college at CU Boulder. It was evening, probably February 2016, and I was just sitting in my bed, and I'm a pretty clean person, so there's nothing in the bed, there's nothing on the floor that I could have maybe stepped on or brought into the bed, and that's relevant for a later point. But I was like drawing something, sketching with a pencil and a paper on a hard surface. I think it was my accounting textbook, and kind of leaned over ever so slightly. And all of a sudden, I feel this like excruciating pain, almost like a bee sting or a spider bite, but in the moment of it happening. And I didn't freak out at first because I'm like, oh, it's some weird bug. I mean, I freaked out a little bit, but not a ton. And it was perfectly in the middle of my shoulder blade. And I thought that was kind of funny because, I don't know, I feel like I would have noticed that, and I didn't have a big jacket or anything on, just a soft t-shirt. But the weird part was it just hurt more and more and started to kind of burn. So I took my cell phone and took a picture of it so I could see what it looked like. It was like perfectly in the middle, so I couldn't see it all. And it was about the size of a nickel in a perfect circle with just a bunch of the thinnest tiny scratches. Like if I had sat there with a needle and somehow, like, I don't know, cut out a stencil and just perfectly did these long lines through the diameter to just make it like a red circle full of tiny scratches. It was the weirdest thing I have ever experienced in my whole life and very creepy. So if anyone else has ever had that happen, I'd love to hear about it. And keep up the good work, Derek. I listen to you all the time, and it's my favorite way to get through traffic in L.A. Hey, bye.
Thank you, Montana. What do you make of this one, listener? Some sort of insect bite? An allergic reaction of some sort? Or some other medical symptom? Or was this somehow paranormal? Well, believe it or not, we actually have doctors and nurses that tune in to the program. Perhaps this odd occurrence sounds familiar to one of them. If so, we would love to hear your diagnosis. And we'd love to hear any other true paranormal accounts that you might have. Just call our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story on your phone using the voice memo feature and email the file to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And remember these simple rules. True stories only. Call from a quiet place. No moving vehicles. One story per call. Call as much as you want, but if you're cut off, just call back and pick up where you left off. Like I said, I have an amazing crew that'll take care of the rest. Now again, that number is 888-608-NIGHT, and that email address is monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, possibly getting touched by an invisible entity is one thing. It's another when you actually see what it is that's touching you. Especially when it goes the way this following entry did. It's coming to us from Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm calling in anonymously from Wisconsin. This story actually just happened last night, so it's pretty fresh in my mind. Still pretty shaken up about it. So my husband and I and our animals, we live in an old farmhouse, and we've been here since about 2015. And even just prior to moving in and since we've been here, we've had a lot of different activity within the house. We've seen ghosts. We've felt ghosts. We've felt ghosts in the different outbuildings and barn and things like that, and had some funny things happening. Nothing too scary. Last night was different, for sure. So I'll start off by saying that I had had an experience during the early morning hours, and my husband had an experience in the earlier part of the night. But I didn't know that until I talked to him this morning. So I'll start with what happened with him. So he had fallen asleep in the recliner in the living room, and he woke up at about 11:30 p.m., and he looked over, and he saw a dark figure that was crouched on the floor, almost like you would think a dog would be sitting. And interestingly, we have an all-black dog. So he looks over and he says, "Oh, hey, buddy," you know, and says our dog's name. And the figure doesn't move. It doesn't make a sound. It doesn't interact with him. But he can see its eyes. And it continues to just sit there and stare at him. And at this point, his heart drops. And he's like, "What the heck is that?" And it just suddenly disperses into the air and completely disappears. At that point, he's freaked out and he gets up and he comes into the bedroom where I am sleeping with our black dog. We sleep just fine the rest of the night. He gets up at 3:30 to go to work. And when he leaves, he had let the dog out. So the dog ends up just staying in the living room and I go back to sleep in the bedroom by myself. Which is unusual. Usually we have one of the animals in there with us, but I was in there alone. And I fall back asleep and I wake up and I look over to my right, which is where my husband would normally be sleeping. However, he's at work. And there's a dark figure that is crouched on the bed staring at me. Now, I've had sleep paralysis in the past, and I kind of know what that looks like for me. Typically, I'll have episodes where it'll be a dark figure in the corner of the bedroom or at the foot of the bed. I've never had one that is that close to me before. And then I've also never had one that touched me before, and this figure did. So it's staring at me, and I can feel my heart racing. And it puts its hands around my neck, and I can feel the pressure of it pushing on my neck. And it, the feeling of doom and absolute, just evil is just, it just is everywhere. It's all around me. And then all of a sudden it lets go, and it jumps up and it scampers across the back of the headboard behind me. I can hear its claws just click, 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 like a little raccoon or something just scampering. And then it leaves the room. And then it's gone. And everything's over just like that. And I lay there for a minute. And in my head, I'm thinking, is this sleep paralysis? It must be. But wait a minute, I've never had anything touch me. It's never been that interactive before. And it just seems so much clearer and real than what my normal sleep paralysis episodes are like. And I haven't had one in probably 6 months to a year. There was a period of time where I was having them fairly frequently, but it's been a very long time for me anyways that I haven't had one. At this point, after this figure had attacked me, I didn't know that my husband had also encountered this figure the same night, but in the living room. So I called him on his early break and was just kind of checking in to see how he was feeling, because he was saying that he was starting to feel maybe like he was getting a cold or something. And I just called and I was like, "Hey, you know, last night I think I had a sleep paralysis episode again, but I said it was different because, you know, this thing put its hands around me. I could feel the pressure of it pushing on my neck. I couldn't breathe. And then I could hear it scampering behind me." And he paused and he said, "Well, last night I saw this figure, you know, in the living room." So it's just, it's definitely something dark. You know, we've never had anything that felt this evil in our home before. And we've had a lot of spirit activity, both my husband and I. They're definitely kind of keen into those things. In fact, he tends to have more things happen to him than I do. So my plan today is to clean the house real good and do a really good smoke cleanse and sound cleanse and I'll even do a salt cleanse too, but I definitely don't want this thing in my house anymore, whatever it is. And maybe it was just sleep paralysis, but I feel like it would be unusual for both my husband and I to see the same entity or creature or whatever it was on the same night in two different locations. I also think it's interesting that we saw this thing when we were both alone. That's a little bit unsettling. So anyways, I hope to get rid of this thing. So that's my plan today, is to work on getting whatever it is out of my house. Take care.
Thank you, caller. I agree. It does sound like sleep paralysis. But I'm with you here. Your husband shouldn't have been able to see whatever it was that your mind supposedly conjured up. That's not really how sleep paralysis works. But on the other hand, for your sake, caller, I really hope that it was sleep paralysis, because I shudder to think that the ordeal that you went through was actually real. So thank you again, caller, for taking the time to call in. And hopefully, we can get you some answers. Now, folks, it's time for another quick break, but I'll be back sooner than you think with more spooky stories. Don't touch that dial.
If done correctly, it all comes down.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Anything, and I urge
away from offering the most insane possible.
All right, let's get back into the action. This time with Anne from Texas.
Hey, Derek. This is Anne in Texas. On season 14, episode 19, Sheila talked about hearing a very strange, almost mechanical noise, kind of a whooping or wooing sound that I think she kind of alluded might be Bigfoot or something like that, something out in the woods. I heard a similar thing one time I was out walking my dog. I live in a suburb. We have a little bit of a nature preserve and a creek that kind of runs through the neighborhood. It's a little pockets of, you know, some trees and things. But I was walking my dog one night, as I did every night, and there are coyotes back in there sometimes in those woods. And I started hearing yipping and, you know, coyote noises. It got my dog's attention, got my attention, because they were pretty close, or they sounded pretty close. And I'd never heard that many of them before going off at one time. I've even seen a couple in the neighborhood. But anyway, it sounded like there were, gosh, at least six or eight of them going off loudly. And it sounded like they were running, not toward me, but away from me. So I didn't think too much about it, but I was on alert because I didn't want to come across them, certainly. And right after they stopped doing that, I heard a very strange sound. Sounded like it was off in the distance, but it was the same sort of a mechanical sound, but an organic sound at the same time. Like a, this is going to sound very strange, but in the old Godzilla films, how that Godzilla, whenever he would make his sound, it almost kind of sounded mechanical. It was sort of like that, but more of the, ooh, like a siren. It sounded like a siren, but a living being making a siren noise. It's very hard to explain. When I came home that night, I tried to explain it to my husband, and I just failed to do so. I've lived in this house for 20 years, walked my dog nightly for years, but never heard that sound. And it went on for about a minute, and it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and it made my dog stop in his tracks. And my dog was pretty fearless, but both of us just stopped. I think the thing that stood out the most about it was how uneasy it made me feel, sort of like deep in my bones, like a primal sort of a fear. So much so that we kind of wrapped up our walk early because it just was really jumpy after hearing that. But I thought it was weird coming on the end of the coyote yips and their behavior. And I've since heard on other Bigfoot podcasts that the coyotes sometimes do that before Bigfoot behavior. So I don't know. I'm in a suburb of Dallas. I don't know if there's a Bigfoot running around here or not, but it was a very strange noise that I've never forgotten. And Sheila's call kind of made me think about that. So there it is. Thanks so much for everything you do. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anne, for calling in. I'm always up for a good sound in the woods mystery. And as we like to do from time to time, we've gathered up a few pieces of audio that others claim feature the voice of the elusive creature we know as Bigfoot. And as usual, if your dog is listening with you, you might want to hit pause for a moment or drop the volume or something. Because for some reason, dogs have a tendency to freak out when they hear the following sounds. Now, these recordings are being played in no particular order. Sound 1 was recorded in 2022 near Castlegar, British Columbia, Canada. You'll hear the witness start up her clothes dryer, just as the whooping sounds begin outside of her home. Now, this next one was recorded back in 2015 near Alert Bay on Cormorant Island, British Columbia, Canada. And this one from an unknown location. Then there is this infamous recording that was made all the way back in 1971 by Ron Moorhead and Alan Berry. These sounds were captured somewhere between Yosemite National Park and Lake Tahoe here in California. And finally, these sounds were recorded in 2019 by grouse hunters in Ontario, Canada.
Oh my God.
Now, each of these clips were shortened just a bit so I could quickly showcase the sounds that were being made. I've linked to each full recording over in our show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the show notes tab. And I can't sit here and say that each of these sounds does in fact depict a Sasquatch. But I can say for certain that I don't know what made many of these sounds. So you be the judge here. You can decide what these could and could not have been. And Anne, you can decide if they sound anything like you heard that day. And just to add to the anecdotal evidence, there have been Bigfoot sightings around the Dallas, Texas area. I've even linked to a classic report out of 1990 over in the show notes. So, as they say, anything is possible. Thank you again, Anne, for sharing the tale. Now, tonight's next entry is unsettling, if it's anything. And it comes to us from Emily in the Mitten State.
Hi, Derek. My name's Emily. I'm from Michigan. I'm going to share a story about a shared experience with a hag spirit that happened to me and my then husband. At the time, we were living in a two-bedroom flat home in Ferndale, Michigan, a couple streets north of 8 Mile. And this would be the summer of 1999. And I was about 6 months pregnant when this started happening. The home, like many of the homes there, was built in the 1920s, super old electric panel that you have to do the screw and fuses. So if you had to plug in anything big, like a window AC unit, because, none of these places had AC, the fuse would invariably blow. And at the time, my ex was working second shift, so I would be alone in the house from 7 a.m. to about 4 or 5 a.m. And the fuse would always blow, of course, every night between 2 and 4 a.m. And so I'd have to, in the pitch dark, with a flashlight, walk through the house, down the stairs to the basement, to one of the two walled-off cellars, and the fuse panel was in the farthest back cellar. And the cellar was directly below our bedroom. So our bedroom floor was the cellar ceiling. It was a really heavy presence in that room. Whenever I'd go to change the fuse, it always felt like someone was right behind me, like about to strangle me. And when I'd go to put the fuse in, an intrusive thought would happen that would say, "Put your finger in the socket," a couple of times. And I would screw in the fuse, book it back upstairs, and just be glad that I was out of there. And this happened for several weeks through the summer, and I never told my ex. He was never at home. And, it was just kind of weird. Every time I went down there, though, that intrusive thought happened. And finally, it would get to the point where I would just say out loud, "I'm not going to do that." And I'd run back up the stairs. Well, one night, the fuse finally went out when he was home. And so I shook him awake. It's probably 3 a.m. And I said, "Hey, the fuse always goes out this time of night. It went out. Can you go please change the fuse?" And I'm expecting him to be like, "Oh yeah, hon, no problem. You're pregnant. You don't have to go down there." Nope. Turns over, looks at me and says, "No way." And I am pissed. I'm like, "Come on. Are you kidding me? Just go down and change the fuse. I do it all the time." Of course, I didn't tell him that, I thought it was creepy because I wanted him to go do it. So we argue back and forth for a couple minutes. And finally, he just says, "No way. I have nightmares about that room." And I just question him. I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yes, I'm in the dream and I'm in the cellar and I'm going to change the fuse. And I turn around and there's this horrible, hideous old hag. And she's grinning evilly. She's bloated and wearing a shredded nightgown and so horrible to look at. And she says, 'Put your finger in the socket.' And when I turn my back to her, she gets closer and I have to turn around real fast and stop her from getting closer. And that's my nightmare. I'm not going down there." Well, as soon as he said to put your finger in the socket, I was floored. I couldn't believe it. I had never told him about it. And I told him what I heard when I was awake and having to change the fuse every night. And we both freaked out. And then about 2 days later, the entire power station in Ferndale was struck by lightning and burned to the ground. I kid you not. And we were out of power completely for over a week. And by this time, I'm probably like 8 months pregnant. That's my story. It's a really creepy house. I used to live in the upstairs flat and had a lot of really weird experiences up there, always revolving around the electricity. And I wanted to say that I have also found out that I'm clairaudient. And if there's anything I've learned from that experience, is I do have paranormal experiences where the entity or the thing will directly speak into my head, like an intrusive thought. Those are stories for another time. I joined the Patreon. I love your show. I hope you like my story, and have a great day.
Thanks, Emily. After nearly 10 years of this, I typically don't get the chills from calls anymore. Not even the scariest of stories. But Emily's call here had my skin crawling. It was the bloated old hag, or her nagging request for you to shock yourself silly. Truth be told, it was all quite disturbing. But believe it or not, it might not be the most unsettling story we share here this evening. But of course, I'll let you be the judge of that. In the meantime, thanks again, Emily, for that gnarly entry. I'll be thinking of that one for a while. Oh, and for the record, don't put your fingers in electrical sockets of any kind. Trust me when I say, you will not have a good time. Well, folks, I think I have time to slip in one more call before it's break time. So from the state of California, please welcome Tara to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Tara calling from Brentwood, California. I am 52 years old, going to be 53 next month. I have a lot of stories I'd like to tell you, but I think first I'm going to tell you something that I have not ever heard anybody mention before. This has to do with my grandmother who passed away in 1963, and this was told to me by my aunt, who has also passed away. But she told my mother that when my grandmother was dying in her hospital bed, she was taking her last breath. And this is never talked about in my family, although we do talk about spooky things a lot. When she was taking her last breath, my aunt said my grandma let out a horrific, kind of like a growl, something that you'd hear of like a possessed person. And as she was doing that, she was taking her last breath, my aunt said my grandma rose. Her whole body levitated about a foot off her bed. And my aunt said she screamed and she saw her levitate and gently float back down to the bed. This is never talked about because it is so bizarre. I was just wondering if anybody out there has had anything like this happen to them, or if anybody knows of any stories out there that this has happened to somebody you know. Thanks, Derek. This is a great show, and keep it spooky. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tara. It's pretty incredible. And it makes me wonder what other amazing family stories are out there, just waiting to be told. Now for me, it's amazing. She wasn't my grandmother. But for your family, Tara, I imagine this whole ordeal is not so amusing. I'm sure you're asking yourselves all sorts of questions. Like, how? Why? And what exactly is going on with Grandma? Now, this is a phenomenon that doesn't get reported into the show all that often. And typically, when it does, it's from people claiming to possess the ability to float or levitate while they're very young. But they seem to outgrow the ability as they reach adulthood. And of course, those are all claims. There's zero scientific proof that this ability actually exists. So I thought it apropos to bring up a few other examples from folks that claim to have levitated, or have the ability to levitate. And here they are, again in no particular order. Sister Jean d'Anges was a 17th century nun at the Ursuline convent in France. She was known for her intense spiritual devotion. Witnesses claim to have seen her levitate during moments of profound religious ecstasy. The phenomena occurred multiple times, with Sister Jean hovering above the ground for extended periods, defying the laws of gravity. Her levitations were witnessed by fellow nuns, clergymen, and even skeptical visitors. Angélique Cottin was a young French girl born in the mid-19th century, nicknamed the Electric Girl. She was renowned for her ability to attract and repel objects through an unseen force. Witnesses reported seeing furniture, clothing, and even people being moved in her presence. On numerous occasions, Cottin was observed levitating while holding onto objects or people, seemingly defying gravity. Scientists and scholars of the time attempted to explain her abilities through magnetic forces or subconscious manipulation, but no definitive explanation was ever reached. And we have Daniel Dunglass Holm, who was a 19th century Scottish medium who was known for his ability to levitate. Holm's feats of levitation were witnessed by numerous reputable individuals, including scientists, journalists, and even members of the British royal family. Accounts describe Holm floating out of windows, hovering over tables, and rising to remarkable heights. These incidents were often accompanied by a sense of weightlessness and a suspension of natural laws. So I guess if these people can be trusted, Tara, then perhaps this superpower isn't as elusive as we first thought. And perhaps your grandmother, somehow, was a practitioner. Well, regardless, the story was amazing. And we thank you, Tara, for taking time to share the account.
Starting point, the question was whether it was...
That's what it takes to win championships.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Yeah. I think in the reality of this.
Down the home stretch. At least for this main portion of the program. And to keep us going, please welcome Rick, all the way from Louisiana.
Hey, Derek. This is Rick from New Orleans. I was helping a friend of mine cut grass one time at a lady's house who had passed away. She passed away in her bed. I didn't know this. The bed was outside. They were going to give it away. So I said I would take it. Well, my mom had passed away about 8 months prior to that. Well, I got the bed, and within a week's time, I would feel someone or something sit down on the right-hand corner of the bed and depress by my feet. And at first it bothered me, and then I said, well, it may be my mom, it may be the woman. And this went on for a while, and it did not really bother me. Then it came to where it went away for a while, maybe 6 or 8 months. Then it came back. And each time it would happen, my dresser drawer is right near my head. So I would hear like the slightest little tink of one of the handles. And I would know that within 5 to 10 seconds that my bed would be moving. And this is not sleep paralysis. Something would sit down, then get up. Then I would feel like a four-legged creature walking up the bed, and I would lift my head up and not see nothing. And then it would hold me down. And it was so scary because I was trying to fight this thing. And finally, I kind of came out of it, and there was nothing there. And this happened about 2 or 3 more times. Then I put a blessed cross in my room, and that's been 8 months, and nothing since then. Love your show, man. Take care.
Thank you, Rick. That's why you have to be careful where you get your furniture. You never know what might come with it. And I'm sure I've told this story somewhere in our 9 years of existence, but when I was probably 10 or so, we had a 4th of July party at my house, and my cousin's very elderly grandmother came to enjoy the festivities. She was wheelchair-bound, and by this point was pretty lethargic. At a certain point in the afternoon, it was decided that Grandma had to take a nap. And of course, my room was selected for whatever reason. Well, unfortunately, she ended up passing away just a few months after that. And from that day forward, as I lay in my bed at night, struggling to fall asleep, all I could think about was that she was somehow attached to my bed, and she would be back at any moment to haunt it and any poor schmuck who might be sleeping in it. Now today I realize that was irrational, but back then I was terrified. And she wasn't even a scary lady. I have fond memories of her back in healthier days. It was just the closest I'd come to human death at that point, and I let all that paranormal content that I was consuming at the time get the better of me. But it doesn't sound like that's the case with Rick here. It sounds like his paranoia is very much warranted. So thank you again, Rick, for sharing this amazing entry. And do let us know should things get worse. And now, it's finally time to introduce tonight's closer. From the state of Alabama, please join me in welcoming Courtney to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Courtney from South Alabama, and I have a UFO story. It's actually my brother-in-law's UFO story because it happened to him, but it happened on my property, and I'm the first person that he immediately told when it happened. So when I say South Alabama, I mean deep South Alabama. We are very, very rural on the 2-mile stretch of road that I guess you could call it our neighborhood. There's about 12 houses, and the rest is farming fields. It's flat farming fields as far as you can see. But behind me, my backyard's about 2 acres, and it's a field. And that backs up to my neighbor's backyard, which is 6 acres maybe, and it's a field. And then after that, that hits the woods, and there's just trees and woods behind me. And we have a lot of wildlife that come out, deers and wild hogs. My brother-in-law, he would come over maybe 3 or 4 nights a week and watch the deer come out from about 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., anywhere in between there. That's probably 10 years ago. It was around Christmas time. and he came beating on my back door, and he's like, I gotta tell you what just happened. I gotta tell you what I saw. And he was wide-eyed and not frantic, but he's been my brother-in-law for 20 years now, and he's not a real excitable guy. And I've never seen him as excited as he was the night this happened. You could just tell he was shaken up. So he tells me that he's sitting out there, and he would sit in his truck on the edge of the property in the backyard to watch the deer come out. He was watching the deer. He put those sunshade protector things that you put like in your dashboard, the windshield of your car to protect, you know, when you park it, the sun's going to be shining in, you put those things in there. Anyway, he puts those in his truck windows to block out the moonlight and the security light where he could see better. His eyes would adjust better to the dark. So he was out there doing that. And he noticed he was being shined with a light. And at first he thought it was us on the back porch. He thought we were shining with a spotlight. And he realized it wasn't us. It wasn't coming from behind him. It was coming from above him. And he said he could see the light shining. It looked maybe 30 feet in the air, but he couldn't see the source of the light. It shined him for a minute or two, and then it turned off. And he decided to just sit there and, you know, see if anything else happened. Well, he was sitting there, and where he's facing the woods, but before, right at the edge of our property, probably 100 feet, if that, in front of where he's parked, is a little cluster of trees, and they're not full-size trees. They're just, it's like 5 or 6 trees. Anyway, he said that there was this craft that was as big as his truck, which he drove a Chevy S10 at the time, so not a full-size truck. But it was as big as this truck. It was like box-shaped like that. And you could see through it. It's not like clear, but it was transparent. Like you could see through it, but what you would see through it was distorted, if that makes sense. And it was dimly lit on the inside. And it was hovering about 20 feet off the ground. And it would float out from behind that little cluster of trees and like start to move out into the field. And he would grab his binoculars, and when he'd go to look at it to see if he could better tell what it was, and when he would get his binoculars, the craft would start to float back behind that little cluster of trees, like trying to hide itself. And it did that a couple times. I guess he watched it for close to maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then it just disappeared. It didn't zoom away, it just disappeared. And that's when he had came in and told me about it. So he tells me it's this, you know, clear floating box as big as this truck, basically. So I was like, well, draw it. What do you mean? The picture he drew, it looked like a coffin, like the kind that Dracula used to get in, like a coffin shape like that. And I got chills when he drew it and showed me. Like, I got chills just seeing that shape. I don't know. And so he goes home, and he didn't come back for a month, maybe, to look at deer at night. Like, it spooked him. And he was telling my mother-in-law, his mother, about what happened to him, you know, describing what he saw. And she was a smoker at the time, and she would often wake up at night at like 1, 2 in the morning, and she couldn't sleep, and she'd go out and have a cigarette on her porch. And she said she's been out there smoking, and she had seen the exact same thing. And my mother-in-law was a no-nonsense, you know, woman of very few words. And just seeing his reaction and what he looked like when he came in and told me about it after he saw it, that, and then her saying she saw the same thing, there's no doubt in my mind that they saw what they say they saw. I just really want to know if anybody else has seen any type of craft like this. Coffin shape, box shape, floating, see-through craft. All right. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Sarah. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the show. Bye.
Thank you, Courtney. I cannot tell you how excited I was when I first stumbled upon this call. Not so much for the content of the story itself, which was great, by the way. But the reason I was so excited was because this story reminds me of an infamous piece of lore from the 1990s. And that connection stems from the description of the craft that Courtney's brother-in-law saw. Now the story begins with a man named Jonathan Reed of Washington State. Back in 1996, Reed's dog went missing. So he set out to walk the nearby forest in search of her, when he stumbled upon a craft that he did not recognize. He rushed back to his house to retrieve a video camera. And when he returned, he found not only the craft, but his dog as well, in the hands of a sinister-looking, gray, alien creature. And the rest you can hear in his own words, courtesy of the television program Fact or Faked Paranormal Files.
When I came here that day,
right up here through that opening in the trees is where I came over and I saw my dog entangled with this thing, and my dog was screaming for her life. And within seconds, this thing grabbed her head, her jaw, and ripped her head right in half, tearing her backbone completely out of her body. Blood, tissue, everywhere. The remains of my dog were nothing but white ash on the ground, where it hit the ground and it was just ashes. Wow. And so I didn't think, I didn't have any logic, I just wanted to kill it. So I hit it as hard as I could with this branch. And right at that point, I could see that behind those evergreens, there was a black-looking shape. And it was 3 feet off the ground. Nothing underneath it. Didn't make any sense. I tried to find logic in the moment. I couldn't find any.
Tell me where the point of it was.
Probably about where you are.
Okay.
It was 9.5 feet long, 2.5 feet thick, and 3.5 feet wide.
When did you decide that I'm taking this with me?
I thought, what I have imagined, it cannot be true. And so I picked it up and I drove back. And then I brought it in my house, put it on the floor, and got the video camera and photographed it.
Now, here comes that tie-in to Courtney's story. That craft, which you can see there in the video, was also coffin-shaped. A long taper on one side and a shorter taper on the other, creating that classic coffin outline. Now, the craft that Reed filmed was not translucent like Courtney's brother-in-law saw, but it was coffin-shaped, and it did hover there, 3 feet off the ground. It was all caught on camera. Now, he does take the alien body home and performs a bit of a home autopsy with the remains. Both portions of the video are available in the show notes tonight, and I highly encourage you to stop listening and watch the video right now, or at least skim through it. Well, the point of that is that I wanted you to experience the video as I did when I first laid eyes on it, with a glimmer of hope in my heart that the video might be real. Perhaps you had the same brief moment that I did, wondering, am I seeing a real-life alien on video? But, as it goes with many of these videos, it turns out that old Jonathan hadn't exactly been truthful. There have been more than a few investigations into Reed's claims, and the video itself, and it seems that it's all bogus. That television program I pulled the clip from, they did their own investigation and were able to recreate the video, shot for shot, almost identical. And they analyzed Reed's testimony with some sort of stress detection software. It too determined that he was being misleading. But that's not to say that the witness down in Alabama wasn't being genuine. It certainly sounds like Courtney's kin saw something unusual. And what's more unusual than a coffin-shaped UFO? So we appreciate you calling in here tonight, Courtney. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to discuss this Reed case, a story that's captured my imagination for going on 30 years. Real or not, the video is a lot of fun. Alright folks, that's going to do it for this evening. But before I duck out of here, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. And leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Remember that you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bad Audio. Now, don't forget, BoregoTriangle.com is where you can find our film. And it's free to watch on Tubi and Amazon if you have an account. And the shop will officially shut down later this week. We're relocating those operations to Ohio, where my mom will take over shipping duties. Now it'll open back up near the end of the summer with the release of this year's Halloween print. So stay tuned for further updates. Alright folks, it was great chatting with you. You take her easy. Keep it spooky. Have yourselves a good night. And I'll catch you on the other side of this brief break.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now he continues and...
Now, as you probably know, we play a secret story here at the end of each Thursday episode. And in that slot, we like to play the weirdest and the strangest calls that I've got. And tonight's offering is a perfect example of both. From parts unknown, please welcome Anonymous to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is going to be a wicked short one, but I was listening to an episode where a woman said that she saw like a little green butt, almost. And it made me think of something that happened when I was really, really young. I live in New England, and it was winter, and I got into a car accident with my dad. And I saw, between all of the like cop cars and ambulances and volunteer firefighters that showed up on the scene, I saw a little green lima bean looking thing. I don't know, maybe this was a dream and I just associated it with that accident. somehow. Maybe they're melded in my mind and it didn't actually happen. It was a dream. Or I saw some weird little green alien lima bean thing. But yeah, that call about the little green butt made me think of that weird little thing I saw running between the cars and the people. Nobody else seemed to notice it, but yeah, that's my story. I love the podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. Well, what do you make of that? And you know, we actually just talked about that little green butt story just last week, I believe. And that call from Kelly in Alabama originally aired on Season 10, Episode 19, if you'd like to check it out. So, what are your thoughts here? Did our caller see some sort of creature, or did she simply bang her head in the accident or something, causing her to think that she saw something strange? Let us know what you think, 888-608-NIGHT. Or email us at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And thank you again, caller, for that unusual entry. All right, folks, it's time to cross the line into the beyond. And tonight I have quite the program lined up for you. And if you'd like to join us, it's super easy. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. That will direct you to both places you can sign up: Patreon and Apple subscriptions. Either one works, but you'll want to join that $5 level to get access to all sorts of bonus content. Probably hundreds of hours at this point. And don't forget, you can do it all for free using our 7-day free trial. So really, you have nothing to lose. It's in the beyond that you can hear stories like Matt's out of the state of Virginia.
Hey Derek, my name is Matt and I'm calling in from Central Virginia. I have many ghost encounters that have happened to me throughout my life, but I'm just going to stick with one today. My story takes place in Silva, North Carolina, at my grandmother's house. It was about 22, 23 years ago, so that would put me around like 10 or 11 years old when this happened. My family would travel from Virginia to Silva, North Carolina once or twice a year to visit family for the holidays, and we would always stay at my grandma's house. My mom and my dad both grew up in Silva, and that's where their family live. My mom, my two sisters, and myself would always stay at my grandma's house. My mom's mom and my dad would always stay at his sister's house since there wasn't a lot of room at my grandma's house. It was kind of a small house with only like two rooms, and that's including hers. So when you walk through the front door of my grandma's house, you're in the living room, and directly to your right is the couch, and then in the far corner is a TV. On the opposite wall is a recliner, and then directly to your left is a door that leads into my grandma's room. Well, if you walk straight through the living room, there's an opening that leads into the kitchen, and if you take a left, it goes down a hallway where there's a bathroom, a bedroom, and then there's another room which she used as storage. But this one particular year that we went down, we were in the living room and we were setting up the air mattress.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks,
We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TrueBolt Door Locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big.